The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Well, now I'm joined in studio by Kevin Doyle, Group News Editor of The Independent. Kevin, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
We'll go through the front pages, first of all. The Irish Mail on Sunday, Taoiseach's bizarre spin on Fianna Fáil poll humiliation. The Independent, Sunday Independent, rural home rules to be eased in a bid to lure back emigrants. And an intriguing headline, row over atrocious behaviour at French horse sale. And that's atrocious Irish behaviour, one believes. O'Donovan pushes RTE to reveal top 100 earners. That's in the Sunday Times. And re-election woe rocks Martin and MacDonald. The Business Post, they have an exclusive. Ireland's outsized AI imports see dramatic surge. And this is about AI hardware coming through Ireland and being exported. And all the sports supplements are talking about Leinster getting a mauling at the hands of Bordeaux. Now, Kevin, let's talk politics first. One result in, one to go.
Yeah, and the result that's in, I guess, is the one that we expected. It was quite obvious probably from this time yesterday, Pat, that this was the direction of travel. And really, that's fine. It's probably what comes below it on the scorecard that poses more intrigue. It's a really good day for the Soc Dems. They now go ahead of Labour in terms of dominance in the Dáil. They have two candidates and two TDs in a constituency for the first time. And perhaps more importantly for them, they've beaten Mary Lou MacDonald.
Okay, so if you look at the tea leaves for the various party leaders, obviously Soc Dems, as you say, they're feeling very rosy at the moment. But for Mary Lou MacDonald, a bit of a slap.
A complete slap.
In her own constituency, after all.
The first thing is it's her own constituency. And look, by-elections, we have probably two, you couldn't probably find two more diverse constituencies to have by-elections in. So while generally by-elections can be quite a local thing and they don't represent national, we've got one here in the inner city of Dublin and we've got one in the Gaeltacht, out as far west as you can go. So it is in a weird way a snapshot, if you like, of where the country is at. And the trend really from a Sinn Féin perspective is that they have done badly in both, because when Pascal Donoghue was announced that he was going to the World Bank, there was an obvious assumption in political circles, well, sure, that's a Sinn Féin seat. Sure. There's no other outcome could come of that. It hasn't transpired like that. It wasn't the candidate that Mary Lou wanted in the first place. So her own people in her own constituency defied her by putting Janice Boylan on the ticket. Janice Boylan didn't perform well in the general election when she was the running mate of Mary Lou MacDonald, and it has transpired.
But does this give Mary Lou the right to say, I told you so, to her own party? Like, you've done us harm because you didn't listen to me.
Well, it's a little bit of cover, but at the same time, you're the party leader and it's your back door. The party decided something, you're supposed to go with what the party says and make it happen. And look, she has been out campaigning, but it hasn't been delivered. And probably, interesting, like, Janice Boylan's vote held up in Cabra West, which is Mary Lou's area. But once you go beyond that, the Soc Dems were eating into it big time.
Okay, now we'll go to Galway West and we'll get the latest from Emily Keegan, who's standing by. Emily, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. We've actually just in the last 10 minutes now gotten the results of the fifth count, which is the first count of the day here in Galway West. And it was the distribution of A&2's Orla Nugent and independent candidate Sheila Garrity's votes after they were eliminated at about 9:30 last night. Noel Thomas of Independent Ireland still very much in the lead here on 11,075 votes now. That's followed by Fine Gael's Sean Kine, who received 219 votes in the fifth count and brought him up to 10,126. So there are now 949 votes between them, and it's been a tight contest between those two candidates since the early tallies yesterday morning. There's a bit of a gap there with second and third place then. Labour's Helen Ogbu did get the second most transfers of this round with 575, but it's still not enough to close that gap because she's now sitting on 6,525 votes, and it's looking very unlikely that she's going to be able to catch up to them. Independent candidate Thomas Welby has now been eliminated, so his 3,351 votes are being distributed in count six.
And how many other candidates are left to be eliminated?
So we're down to seven candidates now, and it's hopefully things are going to be speeding up now, and we should be out of the count centre here in Salt Hill by mid-afternoon.
Okay, so we won't have a result by the end of the programme. All right, Emily, thank you very much for that. Now, what do you read into that, Kevin?
Well, the first thing, it doesn't change the national picture, but this just shows you how by-elections are odd. A&2 giving its largest transfer to Labour. That makes no sense. That's down to candidates, that's down to geography. That doesn't play out in Dáil politics at all. They're on completely different ends of what they argue for. So that's interesting. The 1,000-vote gap, 949 votes between Noel Thomas and Sean Coyne. Talking to people who were in Galway yesterday, the sense is Sean Coyne is going to get across the line by the time...
Even though he's a 1,000 adrift almost now.
Well, Killian Keane has nearly 9% of the vote. He's the Fianna Fáil candidate, and... Even in Dublin, the Fianna Fáil votes largely went on bulk across to Fine Gael. Okay. If that repeats, and then the Labour vote is more likely to go to Sean Coyne as well, and it's quite a large vote. So it may be tight, but people in the know down there think it's Sean Coyne's.
Okay, now we talked about Mary Lou's difficulties on foot of this. Micheál Martin, I mean, one of the papers there talking about the spin, which paper was it, the Mail?
His bizarre spin on Fianna Fáil poll humiliation. Yes, yeah. Quite the headline. And the spin, as they see it, is that he said it's a good thing that the likes of Jim O'Callaghan is coming out and say, and Dara Cleary saying they want to be leader, which they have done in the last few weeks after the latest blow-up.
Isn't it great we have such a depth of talent?
And yeah, and Micheál is making the point nobody wanted to be leader back in 2011 when I stepped up. I'm not sure that's entirely true. There were other names in circulation at the time. Look, Micheál Martin had his big 100-year celebration for Fianna Fáil last week. He said at that, don't come at me, after the by-elections. Mary Lou MacDonald had a fighting chance here. Sinn Féin could have pulled something off. So Micheál Martin knew this was going to be a bad result. He said yesterday at the Count Centre, I'm very calm about the whole thing. People in his party are not necessarily calm.
I mean, the selection in Dublin Central, I remember... when he was on with us just last week saying, you know, he's a newcomer. Doesn't look like a newcomer when you have a look at his gob. And he did very poorly.
He's a newcomer in the sense that he's only a politician for 2 years. But yes, you could
take that. I expected to see a strapping young stripling, you know, whose future was in Fianna Fáil. And that's not what I saw.
No, and the other interesting thing Micheál Martin said is that they have a structural problem in Dublin Central going back 20 years, which is obviously a kind of a sly dig at Bertie, who featured in this campaign more than some would like.
And used to drag in a human surplus behind him.
Well, the Cyprian Brady episode where basically Bertie elected himself, Cyprian had no votes, and then Bertie elected him. But if it's been 20 years, right, and Mary Fitzpatrick has ran time and time again and never got elected, and she's on the opposite side of the fence to the Drumcondra Mafia, 20 years, what have you done as party leader to do something about it in 20 years? You can't just blame Bertie Ahern walking off the pitch in the way that he did for where they're at today. You've had 2 decades to do something about it, so it's not a great excuse. I don't think anyone's going to go for him, is the truth. We're going to probably have a little bit of a bish, bash, bosh again, and everybody's unhappy. But they just, until somebody wields the knife, they're not going for him.
Now, what about Simon Harris? Has he reasons to be cheerful, parts 1, 2 or 3 in Galway West?
Well, he's a lucky general, isn't he? And what's interesting here in some ways, you know, you talk about John Stevens, the Fianna Fáil candidate, having very little recognition factor. The same with Killian Keane, the same with Mark Lohan for Sinn Féin. Simon Harris actually put forward 2 candidates with lots of recognition, and that's really important in a by-election. So in Dublin, he had the Lord Mayor, who put in, you know, wasn't in the running, but put in a credible performance.
Like, and could be thinking, I will get a seat next time.
Oh yeah, they see that as a seat they can try and win back. Yeah. They couldn't hold it in a by-election, but they could win it back in a general. Sean Coyne, obviously a former minister, former government chief whip, the name recognition... they have one candidate. He lost out to Hildegard Nocton, basically, in the general election. So Simon Harris has got lucky in many ways, but at the same time, they had to go and win the seat. And they were up against the fuel protesters, which is very strong in that part of the country. And we don't know the results yet. But whether or not he wins, I think Simon Harris walks away with this in the best shape, which many might not have predicted. Mm. And the other point to make, which Simon Harris is making last night, is that in the weird way politics is, Fine Gael got the biggest vote between the 2 by-elections out of any of the parties.
Which, if you said that a week ago, you say...
Well, it doesn't
nonsense.
Tally with the polls. It doesn't tally with what we
now,
hear.
What about Independent Ireland? I mean, they may take the seat yet, they may not, but what a showing.
Yeah, and look, Noel Thomas is obviously of a former Fianna Fáil stock. He was central. There's photographs of him, fist in the air at the front of the fuel protests a few weeks back. a very big vote. It's funny, there could be small things tripped up. He objected to the redevelopment of a football pitch and JA facilities down there. That may have cost him some votes around Salt Hill, which may actually be the undoing of him in the end. But I think he will certainly expect, come general election time, whether he looks like he should take a seat there next time around. Yeah.
Now, what about Ivana Bacik?
Do you know what? I mean, everyone can spin this their own way. You know, Sinn Féin are saying, oh, we didn't do as bad as Fianna Fáil. And Fianna Fáil are saying, ah, sure, we didn't expect to do anything anyway. Labour will look to Helen Ogbu in the West and think, right, after Michael Dee, Catherine Connolly came in and took the Labour vote there. There was a Labour seat there that was his. And now they go, yeah, we're getting it back at the next election. Yeah. She's done very well to come third in that constituency. There's a real chance, come a general election, that she will be the first black TD, which would be a story in its own right. So, yes, it's all about the Sock Dems, but Labour will have something to be hopeful about.
Looking to the Green Party, Janet Horner, a regular appearer on programmes here, a very good performer too, didn't quite get the kind of vote maybe, but she did okay.
Oh, I think the Green Party will be very happy, particularly that she got a lot of transfers. The Greens seem very transfer friendly in a way that they weren't at the general election. So have they already? The Greens are so cyclical of all parties in Irish politics. They're so cyclical. They go into government and then 5 years later, they get hounded out of town. They go away for 5 years and they come back again. And it looks like that's going to be repeated because definitely brought them back into a place where the soft left and the middle classes were willing to give them preferences.
And for Aintu?
Not much to show here, to be honest.
PBP?
Not much to show. The People Before Profit candidate arrived into the Dublin Count Centre yesterday and said it was a drubbing for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the government, which isn't true. And when you look at where People Before Profit, they made no inroads there. So it's not really a memorable election for them on any level.
Well, now, overnight, the White House attack by an individual on a Secret Service outpost didn't make the papers, really. Too late for that. But this is a report from Fox News.
Right now on Fox 5 News at 10, breaking news right outside of the White House. The Secret Service says a suspect is dead after approaching a White House checkpoint with a weapon. Law enforcement also reporting that a bystander was shot and is in critical condition. The president was inside the White House at the time, but remained safe and unharmed. And new at this hour, Fox News Digital is now just reporting a suspect identity. Let's get right out live to our Regina Urita near the scene now with everything we know tonight. Regina, what can you tell us?
The Secret Service is just after 6 p.m. on Saturday. A man approached a security checkpoint near 17th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue, pulled a gun from a bag and opened fire on officers. Secret Service returned fire. He was then taken to the hospital where he later died. Officials say a bystander was also hit by gunfire, but investigators are still trying to determine whether that person was shot by the suspect or caught in the crossfire. No Secret Service officers were hurt. The president, we can confirm, was inside the White House at the time but was not impacted. Now, multiple sources tell Fox News Digital the suspect was 21-year-old Nazir Best of Maryland. Sources say he allegedly had prior encounters with the Secret Service and a history of mental health issues.
Okay, mental health issues again. If anyone wields a gun, it must be because they have mental health issues.
Yeah, and look, it does seem like, from what the reports we read this morning, that there were multiple interactions around the White House with this individual before. At one stage, he was declaring himself to be God on in social media. I think he was calling himself the real Osama bin Laden.
Why does a guy like this have a gun?
Well, there's your question. Yeah. 21 years old and shot on the spot, I suppose. The White House goes into a 40-minute lockdown. We've become so used to this now, Pat. Yeah. It's kind of just, this will wash away over, it won't be on the front of the papers tomorrow morning.
I know the Fox News were reluctant to even suggest that the Secret Service might have killed the bystander injured the bystander.
That struck me as odd because you'd imagine you can tell that very, very quickly.
Very, very quickly.
And that person is in a critical condition, so we don't know what will happen there. But
we're still investigating that bombing of the girls' school in Iran as well.
Well, yeah, exactly. And look, a judge had ordered this individual to stay away from the White House because he had been troublesome before, but there was no history of violence. But it's just becoming so common.
So, Kevin, we'll have a look at some of the other stories that are knocking around on the Sunday Independent. Rural homes rules to be eased in a bid to lure back the emigrants. What's that all about?
Yeah, it's, look, another housing plan. Let's start there. But basically, the government are looking at, and look, this one-off housing thing in rural Ireland, it's a huge topic. The idea that I have a field and I want to build a house in it. And then I have to get the services, my phone, my electricity, my broadband, all brought out to my house. And how much does that cost? So it's, planners believe it's a terrible, terrible thing to do. It's bad for the environment and it's bad for services. But people in rural Ireland, I won't say they see it as a right, but if you live in rural Ireland, you want your fields, you want your garden, big garden for the kids to play in, and it's a bone of contention. And the rules are applied differently all over the country is part of the problem here. And the government want to streamline it and make it easier to bring back one-off houses. They won't get the Greens into a coalition if they run with this one at the next election.
Fallen tourists travelling to the United States.
Yeah, and look, it's been a really big fall, actually, in April, down 25%. Now, that might be linked to war in Iran, who knows? Mm. But year on year, for the whole year so far, it's down 5%. And student visas are down 8%. So obviously, people are looking at America and thinking it's not for me right now.
And you see the latest wheeze by Trump is to force people who are looking for green cards to exit the country and then apply from within their own old country, wherever that might be, Ireland or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck to you. And then, of course, there's all the thing about checking your social media, and it just seems to be falling off the destinations that people want to go to. Mm.
An irritant that many people in the capital will observe is the cleanup that is necessary after people go in raiding the bins to get the return on which they get 25 cent, bottles and cans.
I don't think this story will surprise anybody who works or lives in Dublin city centre or spends any time in the city centre. The figures might. Almost €1 million in 2 years, Pat, the council has spent cleaning up. And there's a fascinating statistic in that. For every 24 hours that the crews go around cleaning up bins, three of them are spent dealing with the fallout from people scavenging for those cans and bottles in the bin to get their money back.
It's the law of unintended consequences striking again.
Absolutely. And more bizarrely, you might remember, people will know, and people probably don't even know what they're for, those rings that have been put around the bin. Mm. A lot of money was spent on those, I think €40,000. Complete flop. Nobody uses them. They put actual rubbish in them. You were supposed to put your bottle there so that somebody could come along and take it and recycle it for you.
All right, we will leave it there. Kevin Doyle, Group News Editor with The Independent, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.